This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow. Because everything seems to be rolling along fine. this last week we had our main programmer for the division that I'm working with right now in my main client, and he was back after a 2-week vacation. So he had plenty of things on his plate when he got back, but he started working through them and ta-da. And so I think, we're good there and everything seems to be going along fine there. And we won't be closing the month until next week, finishing up on the contributions, and donations, all that stuff. So it's been a pretty quiet week, given that we had Memorial Day. So it's only 3 days this week. So all is well there. We're pottering along. We made some progress, had some meetings, did some programming. It's a good day. It's a good day. The writing is going fine. I'm on book 13. And this is my last week for the first sprint. So the goal was to get down 10,000 words a week, and I've had 9 weeks, so the goal was to be at 90,000 words, and at this point I'm at, I think it's 86,000 something or other, so which is good because I still have this evening. That's normally about 500 words, and then I have tomorrow and Saturday, which combined is about 4,000 words. So I think I'm right on track with that, and I think I'll be okay because I'm in an easy writing section. So, we'll see. I'm still not sure exactly where this book is going to land. I have some ideas as to where we're going, but I don't know if I'm actually going to get there or if the book ends before we get there and I just move that stuff over into the next book, which I can do as well. The line of the poem for this book is face of a man, body of a lion. And then the next book is with a gaze as blank and pitiless as the sun. And so they're kind of connected anyway. So shouldn't have any trouble connecting those two. And I have plenty of things I can write about. So that's all well. It's all going good. Costumes are fun. That's going well. Tomorrow is National Ketchup. Well, I'm celebrating National Ketchup Day tomorrow because there is a National Ketchup Day. It is June 5th this year, I think, or June 6th, one or the two. And the difficulty is that is colliding with National Donut Day. And that's one of the things about the human brain that is just extraordinary, and that is that we have an experience generator. No one has to tell us that ketchup-filled donuts are not a great idea. And so, that saves us a lot of trouble. Yes. June 5th is National Ketchup Day. And I believe that June 5th is also National Donut Day. I was just going to check here real quick. Don't run into the car in front of you. That would be bad. Right. Right. Okay. Donut. Donor Day. Donkey Day. Donut Day Canada. Crying out loud. Donut. Oh man. Podcasts. Podcasts, gotta love them. National Donut Day, yes, June 5th. So yes, but as I was saying, it's really extraordinary that in our brains we have these experience generators that we don't have to experience a ketchup-filled donut to realize we probably wouldn't like that. Now, I don't know. Maybe you could make a potato donut, something that, like, a donut that tasted like French fries, and then you could fill it with ketchup. Still, I don't think so. But it will be National Ketchup Day tomorrow. I've got an outfit for it, although I should have built the t-shirt myself because the logo is too small on the t-shirt. I've got a Heinz ketchup t-shirt that I just bought, and I should have. Next year, I'll build it myself. Because it's not that hard to build. It has more colors than just the three that I would use, but I would just get a red t-shirt and then do a black overlay and a white overlay with vinyl on it and done and done. So it would be fun. But anyways, I was trying to figure out what to do for a hat, and I was trying to think how to make like a squirt bottle hat, and I had started kind of down that path, and then I was out in my garage, and I was kind of moving some things around, and lo and behold, if I didn't find a plastic bucket, that was just about the right size, a round plastic bucket. So then I just took some artwork. Well, I kind of made my own. It's not great, but it's fine to make it look like a flip-top cap, a big flip-top cap. And so I'm just wearing that on my head tomorrow. We'll just go with that. It'll be fine. I'll be dressed all in red, including a red bodysuit. And I'll be a big bottle of ketchup. So it'll be fine. And then, of course, next week is National Donut Day, and I am working on an outfit for that. I've mentioned that before. And then the week after that is National Magna Carta Day. And then it's Father's Day. And then it's World UFO Day. And then it's July the 4th. And then I think it's Paper Bag Day. It's National Paper Bag Day. And then it's National Tattoo Day. So yeah, lots of fun things to look forward to. Anyways, so that's going fine. Family's fine. All is well. We're good. You know, we're moseying forward through this very strange and interesting time. And, I was talking to a buddy. I actually, went to dinner with a buddy. We ran into Subway and grabbed some sandwiches and then sat in a local park. And he was expressing some of his concerns over what was happening and, you know, the economic impacts and all those things. I had mentioned to him that this year, and really at the end of last year, I kind of started this. And I've talked about this on the podcast as well, that the future is unknowable. It's just completely unknowable. The past is unchangeable. The future is unknowable. All we have is right now. All we have is the decisions we can make right in this instant. And that right now, as near as I can tell, it's about 100 milliseconds. So that right now, where we feel like we exercise some control over the decisions that we make, it's about a tenth of a second. And you get to choose. Now, thankfully, we have enough memory, we can remember our past, and so that we can cascade forward. But even if you remember your past, if you don't actually make the decision and act, then it doesn't do you any good. So we have to use our past to help us remember what we did before and see if that worked or not. And then we have to have the will to say, okay, well, that's what we did before. That worked good. That didn't work good. Maybe I'll make another decision. Or maybe I will dedicate myself to learning more. And then I can put the learning in my past so that I can then use the learning to springboard myself forward to make better decisions. But that's really all we can do. We can't change what's gone before. We can simply make decisions in the present that will hopefully move us into a future that's better, even though our futures are unknowable. If we've learned anything in this year, it's that we can be going along happy as a clam and everything seems to be fine, and there can come a big unknown from the future that we didn't even see coming. There's a YouTuber, Julie something or other, and I just stumbled across her when I was on YouTube listening to some other stuff, and she has this podcast about visiting her younger self from 6 months in the future. And she's telling herself, you know, it's been a pretty interesting 2020, and her past self says something to the effect of, yeah, those Australian wildfires, I mean, that was a big deal. And her future self says, yeah, not really. What, something happened? Well, I can't really tell you. She said, but you might want to invest in, I forget what she tells her to invest in, kind of telecom stocks or something, internet stocks. Because this coronavirus thing, obviously, has just come out of the blue. As you can hear, it is raining, but it's fine. It's not, you know, there's still got good visibility. The future is unknown. But what I was telling my buddy is we will always, as human beings, because of our flesh, we will always see the worst possible the worst possible future. We will always see the worst possible future. But we can give ourselves pause and say, you know, there's been plenty of times in the past when I thought the worst possible future was coming my way. And then, when the future got here, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I told him that, and this was Tuesday night, that we had discovered that we had a batch that hadn't gone through. It's weird. I mean, one of our batches of contributions, it just hadn't gone through. We could track it in to the big overnight cycle, and it said it had gone into overnight cycle, and it had a status of exported on it, which means it had started into overnight cycle, theoretically, but it just didn't go through. It didn't air off. As far as I know, it's the first time that has ever happened in over a decade. A decade? This is not some software we just put in. Which is really weird. So, and that was Tuesday night, and my buddy, who works full-time with that software that I had built, he came in and mentioned it to me like at 3:30. Well, 3:30 on Tuesday, haven't eaten, you know, for 40 plus hours. And we were looking through it, couldn't see it. And we knew we just needed to get it cleared by the end of the month, which won't be till early next week. And so we had some extra time. And I said, you know what? I said, let's hit this fresh in the morning. Let's just see. So that meant I had to go home, not having any idea why this batch didn't clear. And I could sit around and fret about it. But when I told my buddy that we were to dinner with, I said, but, you know, we'll find out tomorrow what it is. I don't know what it is. I've never seen this before. But we'll just see. And so by the next morning, we were chatting, I said, you know, it's got to be some kind of a status thing. It's got to be something. We knew that there was an odd document in that batch that had blown out in a way that had never blown out before. It's a long story. We had made some changes as to how we would accept batches from a particular origin channel, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so that one had come in as a document without any details, which that really is not supposed to happen, but they had fudged it and made it work. And so I said, well, it's got to be some kind of a status thing, you know. So we just exported it, untransferred it, and then retransferred it and re-exported it, because we don't destroy data, we just change statuses on things. And, you know, come 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when it got harvested and exported again, you know, we checked it, all the data seemed to be there.
Yeah.
And then last night, I went in to check balances on everything to make sure everything was good, and checked that batch, and it had gone through, and it was fine. So the future wasn't terrible, you know, it went through fine, it was easy to fix, yay, boom, done. As to why it happened, I still don't know. But he made notes, my buddy made notes, and we'll see what happens next time. But my point is, the resolution of that, it worked out just fine. We didn't have to take extraordinary steps, we didn't have to put in hours and hours of work. And I can tell you that Tuesday, you know, when we were looking at it, and Wednesday morning, even before I went in, it's like, oh, you just don't know what's going to happen here. It's going to be bad. You're going to have to spend lots and lots of time. This is something you've never seen before. It's one of those deep hidden bugs. And it's been, doesn't matter that it's been a decade. This thing has just been waiting. And you've got all kinds of problems. And, you know, there's all this stuff that's going on in the background. But you don't know. You just don't know. You don't know. The future is unknowable. And so all you can do is just do the best job you can do today, and then we move forward. So I have no idea what's coming up in the future. Aside from the fact that I think I've got my costume days planned out. But we just move forward a step at a time. And God is good, and all is well. And we see what happens. So, yeah. So, I'm not really sure exactly where the book is landing, but you know what? I'm almost got 90,000 words down on it. And I'm sure that'll all get resolved. I still don't know what I'm doing for the epilogue on that. I have an idea. I have an idea, maybe, but I don't know what the pieces are. But we'll get it. Step at a time, we'll get it. It'll be fine. So today I did come across an article, and it's just an easy, simple article, but it's nice to have a little neurological research and see that, well, look at that, isn't that interesting? And that is that the title of the article was Neuroscience Says Doing This One Thing Makes You Just As Happy As Eating 2,000 Chocolate Bars. Or gives you the same neurological boost as receiving $25,000. Now, I don't know what those equates are for. We'll get into the article in a minute, but, you know, at least there is something here. There is something here that there is a surprisingly simple, easy way to give yourself a neurological boost. Surprisingly simple. And the article starts off by saying, wanting to be happier is a universal trait. It's rare to find a person whose reply to, how would you like to feel today, is morose, please. Although I have run into some people who seem to treat being morose as a badge of honor. They're absolutely convinced that life is not worth living, and that the only serious people in the world are those who are scowling all the time and finding the worst possible things to think about. I have been around people like that. I don't happen to be one of them. Let me get my mail real quick. Oh, no mail. No mail today. Wait, is today a holiday? No, today is not a holiday. Maybe someone already got the mail. So happiness then, you know, from that we assume that most people are interested in happiness. So the scientific study of happiness, I'm back in the article now, aka positive psychology, that's what that's called, has mushroomed over the last two decades. Just a second, let me get my car parked. Here we go. Bonk. Okay. Anyways, the scientific study of happiness, aka positive psychology, has mushroomed over the last two decades. Major research institutions have taken on substantial and often thought-provoking forays into the joy of joy, with surprising and often enlightening results. One study took place in the UK. Researchers used electromagnetic brain scans and heart rate monitors to generate what they call mood-boosting values for different stimuli. In other words, they had participants do, look at, or listen to different things and to measure how happy it made them. One thing trumped all else. It emerged as giving participants the equivalent level of brain stimulation as up to 2,000 chocolate bars. Now, I haven't looked at the underlying study, so I don't know. It was just as stimulating as receiving up to $25,000. I gotta tell you, it seems a little overblown, but we'll assume that the article. What was this magic stimulus? A smile. A smile. Smiling, as it turns out, has remarkable effects, according to the article. First, doing it actually makes you feel good, even if you're not feeling good in the moment. A 2009 fMRI study out of the Einsteinschenk Universität in Munich demonstrated conclusively that the brain's happiness circuitry is activated when you smile, regardless of your current mood. If you're down, smiling actually prompts your brain to produce feel-good hormones, giving credence to the adage, fake it till you make it, when it comes to your state of mind. They said that smiling was also a predictor of longevity. In 2010, Wayne State University looked at Major League Baseball card photos from 1952. They found the span of a person's smile actually predicted his lifespan. Unsmiling players lived 72.9 years on average, while beaming players lived a full 7 years longer. That's pretty interesting. Similarly, a 30-year longitudinal study out of UC Berkeley examined the smiles of students in an old yearbook with almost spooky results. The width of the student's smile turned out to be accurate predictors of how high their standardized test of well-being and general happiness would be, how inspiring others would find them, and even how fulfilling their marriages would end up. Those with the biggest smiles came out on top in all the rankings. Finally, research demonstrates that when we smile, we look better to others. Not only are we perceived as more likable and courteous, but those who benefit from our sunny grins actually see us as more competent. Something to keep in mind while giving presentations or interacting in the office. So the article concludes with this: want to know where you stack up when it comes to smiling? Know this, under 14% of us smile fewer than 5 times a day. You probably don't want to be in that group. Over 30% of us smile over 20 times a day. And there's one population that absolutely dominates the smile game, clocking in with as many as 400 smiles a day, and that's children. So there you have it. Smiling makes you feel good, makes you look good, gets you a better marriage in the end. And the article concludes by saying, that seems like something to smile about. So, and I pair that with the whole idea of positive alacrity that we have talked about in the past, because positive alacrity is just such an interesting thing. Positive alacrity? Because the definition of it, it was put out, the definition that I use was put out by a place called mindmaven.com. And positive alacrity is the skill of consistently delivering micro experiences that have a profoundly uplifting impact on the people we interact with. Now, I love that. The whole costume thing, it's all about positive alacrity. And it's not only useful for the people that I make smile when I'm talking with people and joking and carrying on at Walmart and other places, but it also gives you a feedback loop that really does a lot for your own self-confidence, for your own sense of well-being. Because you can see that you're making a positive benefit in people's lives. So I'm not suggesting that everybody in the world dress up in goofy costumes and going around make other people smile, but it can be anything. All it needs to do is to deliver micro experiences that have a profoundly uplifting impact on the people we interact with. So you could be sharing interesting stories that you found. You could be sharing jokes that you found. You could be, you know, doing random acts of kindness for people. Just little things. And maybe in the process, you make some people smile. Maybe in the process, you make yourself smile. And according to this article, that's worth 2,000 chocolate bars or $25,000. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.